Good morning and welcome to Manna on Monday. I'm Pastor Ron at Lighthouse Church, and we're grateful that you have chosen to spend time with us as we go through the Bible. And each of us, Monday through Friday, spend a little bit of time. And so you can get a great little devotion each morning at 8 a.m. And so I pray you're blessed by that. But so, hey, let's pray, and then we're going to jump into our introduction for Proverbs chapter 28. Father, thank you. Thank you for the power of your word, that it doesn't take much, doesn't take many words for you to say what needs to be heard. So, Lord, won't you please help us to hear what you have to say today. Speak to us, Lord. Do the work that you desire to do. We invite you. Say, yes, Lord. Direct us. Equip us. Bring glory to your name as I pray we seek you. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, when you think of leadership, do you think of someone immediately? You know, when I look at our country, immediately, there's some men's lives that come to mind. The first one, even though he's not the first president, but is Abraham Lincoln. Man, I just really enjoy Abraham Lincoln as he struggled through the political career, if you will, and the defeats of his life, but he didn't quit. He was a man of great resolve, and he took a lot of opposition by saying, hey, it's not right for us to enslave people. Wow, what opposition he faced with that, but what a great leader. And then, of course, George Washington, the heart that that man had to provide for people. And Thomas Jefferson, whoa, the intellect that that man had is exceptional. But all had a faith in Christ. Doesn't mean they were perfect by any means. None of us are, but they led well. And of course, I enjoy athletics. And so, you know, when I think of leaders in athletics, I think of people like John Wooden. Now, depending upon your age, you know who I'm talking to, or you don't know who I'm talking about. But John Wooden, the UCLA basketball coach that was all about keeping it simple, just doing the simple things of basketball and doing them very, very well and having great discipline in his own life that carried over onto that court. And then, of course, as I grew up, and one of my guys that I really enjoyed was what was an assistant coach with the Oakland Raiders at the time, became the head coach and then later a broadcaster. And I'm, of course, I'm speaking about John Madden. And I love the, you know, the, if you will, the play-by-play, the, if you will, the enhanced part of it, you know, where he whistles and he goes pow and bang, you know, he adds expression. And that is definitely John Madden. He added expression in his coaching. And then, of course, one personally that I think of is a man by the name of Scott Tingey. And you're going, who is Scott Tingey? Well, Scott Tingey is important to me. Scott Tingey was a football coach that, though I wasn't a great athlete by any means, I was one of those kids that, you know, you have out there so that you have a dummy squad so that the first team can play against the dummies, you know, but they're live dummies. But I enjoyed it. I loved the camaraderie. I wanted to be a part of something that was greater than me. But I had a coach, his name was Scott Tingey, that spoke clearly into my life. He gave me direction. And I always appreciated that. And I expressed that to him later on in life when we connected again outside of high school. But isn't it interesting the people that can have influence on our lives? And of course, biblically, there are some people that I admire. And at the same time, it's like, why would you do something like that? You know, such as Abraham. And he lies about his sister, who is actually his wife. And Isaac does the same thing. And then, of course, you see this conflict between father, son, and then another son, Jacob. And they just can't seem to maintain that strength of commitment in their marriage. But yet God still works through each of them. And of course, my favorite leader of all is one that I desperately need in my life. I think we all need in our lives. And that is, of course, is Jesus. But what is it that distinguishes a leader? And I think that what really distinguishes a leader from others is the fact that their message is strong and powerful, whatever their message is, but it's strong and powerful. And it's not just in their leadership when they're leading, but it's in their lives. It's how they live their lifestyle. Is it consistent with the way that they lead, or is it inconsistent? Well, typically, you're going to see that it is consistent. It may not be good, but it's most likely it's consistent. I love the way that Mark wrote about Jesus and his perspective of the way that Christ's leadership style was reflected. And he wrote about it in Mark 10:45, as I wrote down here in my notes. "For even the Son of Man..." Almighty God, who becomes a man to rescue men from themselves. "He comes not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many," as a payment for many. What a lifestyle he led that matched his leadership. Proverbs 28, I believe, is a great chapter in bringing clarity to the identity of leadership in our lives. And so, hey, let's take a look at verse 1 here today real quick, and then we'll wrap it up. So the verse 1, "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion." So the wicked are always looking over their back and covering their backsides, you know. And why is that? Well, I think that when you look at the consistency of the wicked, there's a trait that exists among them that is common, and that's they're liars. They say one thing, they do another. They do something, they say something else. So it's easy to pick them out. But for people that aren't so public, if you will, but in their lives and the way they lead their lives as they're habitual liars, the thing that they have to do is they have to stay ahead of their lie. So you constantly have to be moving and shaking. It says a wicked flee when no one pursues. It's like, man, I got to be watching over my back. I got to be careful. You know, I don't know who I'm going to run into. And I know I know of people that have lied, and I know that they lied, I've seen them, and they act like they don't see you. I don't know if you've ever had that experience or not. And they turn away, and then all of a sudden they just disappear, you know, and it's like, what happened? Well, I think that what the problem is they can't stay ahead of the lie, and they're, you know, and our lives hopefully create accountability, not in terms of judgment, but in terms of saying, let's lead a different way. Let's lead with integrity. And let's not walk in the place of deceiving others. But yet, that's the nature of the enemy, right? He deceives. That's what he did in the garden. He was a deceiver. And so when you deceive others, you're teaching them how to deceive. And so they flee when no one is pursuing. But the righteous, it says, but the righteous are bold as a lion. We don't have to worry or be fearful of what's around the corner. We lead without fear. Not with foolishness, but with wisdom. There's stability in that type of a person in their lives. And they don't have to worry about trying to stay ahead of corruption. No, their character traits are understanding and knowledge, and they take that and they apply that well in their own lives, but also in the way in which they lead others. They think before they react. They question, they gain information before they make decisions. And they pause, they think, they pray. So how do you get more knowledge and understanding to be an excellent leader? Well, one of the things that I believe that you do, especially if you're a believer in Christ, is you spend time with him every single day. You want to spend time with the leader that's leading you, right? And so that's what I encourage people to do, is just spend time with him, meditating on his word, reading through these passages, thinking about them. And what God does is he takes his word and he shapes it into our lives, because it's living and active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart and the mind. So that's what we're going to pull up today. And my hope is that if you don't have stability in your life, you can get stability in your life by spending time with Jesus. God bless you all, and look forward to seeing you next Monday.